earlier, while staying with this question of Russian energy supplies, there is agreement among European Union member states not to pay Russia directly in rubles for imported gas, according to senior EU officials quoted this lunchtime. However, they also say that the Commission doesn't have an overview of how many buyers within the Union have opened accounts for gas payments with the state-owned Gazprom Bank. It follows reports yesterday that four European buyers already paid in rubles for their gas, and that 10 had opened ruble accounts in preparation. The French government says that there will be an emergency EU summit meeting of energy ministers next Monday to discuss all of this. Let's talk now to Naomi O'Leary, who's Europe correspondent with the Irish Times. Naomi, thank you for taking our call. These comments of an EU official were prompted by, I think it was Bloomberg had the report yesterday of European buyers opening accounts to pay in rubles, which is the Russian demand. What's the EU saying this lunchtime about all of this?
Well, what EU officials have set out is what exact action by energy companies would constitute a violation of sanctions. So under the sanctions against Russia, companies are not supposed to do transactions with the Russian Central Bank. And EU officials have now laid out what constitutes that. So the Russian President Vladimir Putin passed a decree about a month ago, which demanded payment for gas in rubles. Currently, energy companies continue to pay gas bills, and they pay in euros into the bank account of Gazprom in Luxembourg. Now, 97% of contracts stipulate that payments should be in euros or dollars, according to the European Commission. Nevertheless, this demand from Russia is, whatever the contract says, ultimately the payment will be in rubles. And it works by opening two bank accounts. So you open an extra bank account, which is ruble denominated, pay in euros, and then that gets converted into rubles with the second bank account. And in the opinion of EU officials, it's that conversion into rubles and the fact that the payment isn't truly made until the money is converted into rubles, that constitute a violation of sanctions. It constitutes dealing with the Russian Central Bank. And therefore, they've advised it would be a violation of sanctions. Now, whose job is it to tell companies off and hold them to account for not making payments or not? That's the job of national authorities. So each individual member state has the responsibility of ensuring compliance with sanctions. So now it's a little bit up in the air. What does this actually mean in terms of the next steps for energy companies and the implication for gas supplies?
Yesterday, of course, we had this announcement by Russia that it was cutting off gas supplies to Poland and Bulgaria. How is that being interpreted there in Brussels? What are seen as Putin's tactics in this?
Essentially, it's a warning. They've picked off two countries. They could have chosen other ones. And it's seen as a warning mostly to Germany. Germany had changed its position regarding oil and had started to indicate that it was coming on board with potential sanctions on Russian oil because they'd found a workaround with Poland to stop getting oil supplies from Russia. And this was crucial because oil imports to the European Union are even more valuable to the Russian state than gas. They represent hundreds and hundreds of millions of revenues coming in all the time to underpin that regime. So this came, the announcement about cutting off Poland and Bulgaria came literally hours after that deal between Germany and Poland was announced. So it's seen as a warning to Germany that, you know, they have this trump card of being able to cut off gas to Germany, which would probably devastate its industry. And that would potentially cause a recession in the manufacturing heartland of the EU. Mm. So the potential to cause economic damage. What's really, really important to note, though, is that the damage is not a one-way street. Russia does rely on these revenues. So they can choose to cut off countries, and they're taking the initiative to do that. They're seeing what concessions they can get out of this. But they also sacrifice their own revenues when they do that. And it's causing a permanent move away from Russian gas and oil in the EU.
Yes, because I mean, I think already Poland are accelerating, or certainly have plans to source gas not from Russia, but from Norway, and the infrastructure's been put in place to allow that to happen.
That's right. Many EU countries have been doing this for years, trying to move away from dependence on Russia. But it was a mutually beneficial arrangement to have this cheap gas and easy supply. But what this has done is made those plans accelerate, become very much more concrete. That was already happening for the last few months, but now people are really just have been taught the lesson that gas and oil from Russia can't be relied upon. Poland expects to be able to get that source of gas in Norway by October, and many other countries are doing similar steps. It won't be easy for everyone, but then again, it's not easy for Russia either to find new buyers. It means new pipelines. It's not so simple for them to start selling to other buyers.
Naomi O'Leary, Europe correspondent of the Irish Times. Thanks for that.